Should you rely on the leaders of your country to provide for your family? Find out on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as Kenneth Copeland and his special guest David Barton share who should be your source of provision. Now here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. God is good. He's alive and on the throne. And prayer changes things. Praise God. And prayer will change things in this country. Amen. It's prayer in the truth of God's Word. It'll change anything,
man. That's right.
You remember one of my favorite preachers of all time. And he would, man, you don't ever want to listen to the guy's tapes right before you go to bed. Man, you wind up and jumping up and down in the bed, shouting and hollering. And he'd get right to the end of it, and he'd say, "You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God, Brother Shambach."
Yeah.
And what a preacher.
Yeah.
And he could stir you up. But that would hit me back when I first began to learn the power that's in faith that God's put in us and our prayer ability.
Yeah.
When I first began to learn that, and I would hear him say that. And I thought, I don't have any trouble. I didn't have nothing but trouble, man. It surrounded me on all sides. I don't have any trouble. No. And the Apostle Paul said, all the stuff you're going through is not even worthy to be compared with God and what He's given us. And all this mess on television, all that's going on, all of it's temporary. And you just watch and see what happens to the people of faith. They come out right up on top. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right.
Because a tither will win in the middle of of this, and they'll wind up coming to Him.
That's right.
Or trying to break Him.
It's biblical principles.
Use
biblical principles, you're going to succeed 100% of the time. It's absolutely guaranteed.
And I heard this too in prayer a few weeks ago. And the Lord said, hey, compared to Abimelech and Pharaoh, he said, these guys are amateurs.
Yeah, that's right.
and he said, right. I jerked the slack out of those old boys.
Yeah.
I can handle these amateurs that are in the world today.
That's
it really took me, man.
That's good.
And he's talking about the... You know, the big shots of governments all over the world, that Iranian standing up there, you know, that blowhard going on about what all he's going to do.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, he's an amateur.
Like a little chihuahua nibbling around the ankles of a big pro football player. You know,
attacking a polar bear or something.
Exactly.
Amen. David, let's go back into this. The people, particularly the younger generation, needs to know what is happening, and there's a lot of talk about socialism and stuff.
Right.
And there are people that talk about socialism, and they know there's something wrong with it, and it's bad, but they don't know why.
They don't know what it is. They don't know how to identify it. If it came and sat on beside them, they wouldn't know.
They don't know how it works.
They don't know.
It works to promote certain things. It always promotes the same thing, and it's never godly.
Yeah.
So
it's the first wrong form of government that was ever introduced in the Bible. Socialism is the first wrong form. God said, that's really bad. That's not what I gave you.
Danny, let me ask you this then, in the light of that. Every time I begin to mention this with you or I'm praying about it, this always comes up. And I want to verify it with you because you are so anointed in these areas. When you go away from freedom...
Mm-hmm.
Free marketplace. That says something.
Yes. Free market.
When you go away from freedom in any direction, whatever you come up with, any kind of government you come up with, it's going to eventually emerge as socialism, isn't it?
Yeah. That is the natural default position of man. Anytime you get away from God, you're going to drift back into socialism. Now, socialism can show itself in various forms. Fascism is a form of socialism.
Yeah.
Communism is a form of socialism. But anything that
anarchy is a form of socialism.
Anarchy is.
Let's face it.
It is.
Yeah.
It's, It is collective. It's the group. It's groupthink rather than individual think.
If and it's got ism on the back of it, you don't want it.
It's a problem. That's right. Ism is a problem.
Christianism is a problem. Christianism is religion that's made out of Christianity that isn't Christianity.
And it's where God. It's where man becomes a sinner again instead of God.
Yeah.
And it's no longer about you and God. It's no longer individual. It's group collective. And groupthink is a bad thing. Because God made, you go into 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, talks about how he made each part differently. Now, they've all got to cooperate and come together to make the full body work.
That's right.
But every single part is different. Socialism says every part's the same. We're going to make a body out of all noses or all ears or all toes or, you know, something else. And they lose the individual part. And that's the default position of mankind. Every time they get away from encouraging individualism, encouraging that free market, as you said, and free market, such a great example is the American pilgrims who came here because they had come out of a climate where that for 1400 years, everything centered around a king and you're just some of the little bees in the beehive. You got a king bee up here, a queen bee, whatever you want to say.
And you couldn't excel unless he could.
That's right. He told you what you're going to be, and you live to serve him. I think I need you as a cooper to make barrels for me. I think you'll be my hostler. You'll take care of shoeing the horses. And that's where names came from. I mean, Barton, my name, is an English name, and it means a land keeper. You had Smiths, and they were the guys that... So you were assigned what you're going to be. And that's how the pilgrims were raised. The whole world was like that. They all had kings, and everybody lived to serve the king. There wasn't any individual stuff. And then we
come... Boy, racism played a part in that thing.
It was huge.
It's a hotbed for it.
It is. It feeds right into it, and it just helps. It's like vitamins for it is what it is. It really kind of injects more energy into it.
You know that...
And it's a bad deal.
When you look at the socialists of our time... I'm not talking about the famous ones. We could go on about them. The Stalin, Tolstoy, and the writers, you know, that were behind all that. And we understand a lot of that. But those that were behind Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And you go back and find out what that thing's original name was.
Yep.
It was called the solution to the Negro problem.
Yes. Yes.
And that
pure racism.
Pure racism. And that's where the press for abortion came from in order to systematically annihilate
the
color people of color. And and they used it on the Indian people, my people, they used it on the brown-skinned people, they used it on the black people, but it had the name of the solution to the Negro problem.
That's right. And Hitler used it even on white people. They just didn't have the right color hair and eyes. If you didn't have blue eyes and that white hair, then we're going to white. Because we lost, in that thing, we lost 6 million Jews. We lost 7 million Gentiles that Hitler
wiped
out.
Yeah, at the same time.
So, I mean... You get that racism injected, and it's anybody that's different from me, anybody that's different from my thinking, and it's a real problem. And that's where...
If you don't fit the mold, you're not fit to be part of this social order.
And that's that thing. Yeah. If you're not a brick, if you're not my brick and my mold, if you don't fit my mold, you are in trouble.
We cast you in the pile.
And that's what God didn't like. And the pilgrims were so cool because when they came, they had been trained in that thinking, the socialist thinking. What got them out of that was the Word of God. They spent 2, 4, 6 hours a day in the Word of God. And they came...
Developing really, God's idea of a government,
developing God's idea of a whole life. Because it wasn't just government for them, it's how do we live? And so they looked to the Bible for every single thing, and they brought in their habits and their traditions. They brought what they were used to, and God had to really shake them and say, no, look what I said. You know what you've done.
And you brought up something, and it's really kicked off something in my thinking. The Jews were 400 years under Pharaoh.
That's right.
And they had to learn how to live again.
That's right.
And God took them out of there and put them out here in a place where couldn't nobody get to them and couldn't anybody out there affect their way of thinking yep. anymore. He had to change their ways of thinking. And he had to write it down yep. where they could learn yep. it. Now, here you've got a people that have been under that same kind of mind-bending yep. authority for 1,400 years,
That's
man,
right.
three times as long
That's right.
as they, almost four times as long as they were.
That's right.
I had that had never occurred to me before.
Yeah.
They had to go somewhere that was desolate and learn how to live.
They did. They had to get, and my son preached a sermon this last week, and I heard it, and just really profound. It was talking about how Jesus called forth Lazarus from the grave, and here's Lazarus, he's all alive, and now let's all go rejoice. No. You had to get rid of the grave cloth, too, because you're still bound up. You may be alive,
wow.
but if you don't get rid of the grave cloth, and then Lazarus could say, you know, I really enjoyed those grave cloths. I really got comfortable in those. So every night when I go to bed, I want to wrap myself back up. It's not enough to be alive if you don't get rid of the grave cloths that have been wrapped around you, the way you think and the way you act and the way you behave. And so that's where the pilgrims were, was getting rid of the grave cloths. That's really where the Hebrews were, getting rid of those grave cloths so they could be free in their freedom. And the pilgrims come in, and they really took, and I've seen this misportrayed. Talk show last week, they said, you know, the Bible really is for socialism. Look what they did in the early church in Acts. They had everything in common. They had everything together. And no, we just think that. Matter of fact, when Ananias and Sapphira screwed it up, the apostle said, hey.
Didn't work out too good, did it?
Didn't. And the apostle said, that property was yours to do with as you wanted. It didn't belong to us. You didn't have to give it to us at all. The problem was you lied to the Holy Ghost. Well, that's a whole, the fact that you owned private property means that it wasn't in common. You could give it to somebody if you wanted to, which is what the church did voluntarily out of charity. They gave things to help needs, but there wasn't a socialistic
now,
system
I'll
there.
I'll tell you what, Dave, let's go over there, because there people have talked about this yep. a lot in the book of Acts.
Well, let me throw this
and
thing in real quick
that,
on the pilgrims.
They used that to base
it. They used that. And see, here's the thing out of the pilgrims that the pilgrims got, is they had that Acts kind of model wrongly interpreted. They said, you know, we need to take care of one another. Galatians 6:10 says you look out for all people, especially those of the household of faith. So, you know, we're all here as pilgrims, as believers. We're all the same church. They all came from the same congregation. John Robinson's
yeah.
a pastor. Said,
yeah.
here's a church together. Let's take care of each other's needs. And so they're in this tough, rough land. They don't know how to live here. They're city slickers come to the country. They've been in England and Holland. And so what they do is they bring all their food together and split it out and share it with everybody. And they bring all their production, everything they do, they split it. And they started noticing that, you know, there's some individuals over there that aren't working as hard as they could work, but they still get the same share as us who work really hard.
They caught on to that pretty quick, didn't they?
And see, what got their attention was 1 Timothy 5:8. The scripture says, if you don't take care of your own household, you're worse than an infidel. And they said, my gosh, we're taking care of everybody else's household. What we're producing is being taken and given to everybody else. We're told to take care of our own household. And so what they did was they had a little town, and the other verse that got them was 2 Thessalonians 3:10, where the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, that's not very compassionate. Hey, that's God's word. If you don't work and produce, you don't get the benefits of it. And so here were people not working, not producing, sitting around getting the benefits. These guys weren't producing just for their own home. They're producing for everybody else's home. What they were taking, what they had is being taken and given to everybody. So they called a town meeting, and they did the Luke's, the Psalm 68 thing where it says that God set the solitary in the families. They said, you know, we got some widows and some orphans among us. We're going to assign you to this family unit over here. So they put them in families, and they said, now, we have bought land from the Indians. The Bible teaches us private property. The king said it was our land. He's crazy. We bought the land from the Indians. Here's your land. You work this land. You make it produce. You get the benefits of it. If you don't make it produce, that's your problem. We're taking care of the widow and the orphan. We put them in families. They've been assigned to families. They're being taken care of. And suddenly productivity went through the roof. You now had an incentive to work. You know, if I'm a hardworking guy, I don't want to stay a hardworking guy, because the harder I work, the more everybody else gets what I've got. And the pilgrims are the ones who broke that 1,400-year mold of socialism that came to America. And 2 years later, the Jamestown colony looked at them and said, we've been having the same trouble they had. Look how they fixed it. And Governor John Smith said, you don't work, you don't eat. Good Bible verse. That's individualism. Individual's accountable for his own behavior. Socialism says, no, 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 you're not accountable for your behavior. We'll make the whole, you'll meld in the whole group. You'll be part of the group, and we'll take care of you.
Now, where this all comes back.
And I'm sorry, I interrupted you, but that's just that pilgrim stuff. We got to get back to that pilgrim thinking.
Yeah, and that's what I was after for me, because that's our roots. That's how we got
That's how we got here.
Now, the key issue to this is the blessing.
Yeah.
That's what God released on Adam to run this earth with.
Yep.
The blessing of God, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it.
Now, that's right.
Under that socialistic form of government, the blessing has to work, if it works at all, it has to work against the government.
Yeah, it does. Yep.
Now, that in itself makes it crosswise of God.
Yeah, government's trying its best to stifle a blessing.
Yeah.
Is what it must
be. Now, let's go back. Let's look at some things that's happening around us today.
Okay.
The government goes in, and it's got this great idea of bailing out these businesses. Now, there was wrongdoings going on in those businesses. Well, wrongdoing causes bad results. Mm-hmm. Bad results will destroy a company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of allowing that company
to be accountable
mm-hmm. for it, here comes our hero, and our government is our hero, and then the government comes in, and now
we're going to fix the problem.
What was the first thing it did?
Yeah.
These guys are making too much money. That's the reason this thing is going down. That wasn't the reason it's going down at all.
No, no, no.
But that...
And let me make a comment on that, too, because we're talking about free market. And a free market is where you can take what you're good at and put it out there and see if anybody's interested in it. If they are, they'll buy it. And if not, and you can even negotiate for, well, my production is so good, I want more for it. You know, so I can negotiate prices with you. I don't need what you got. I'm going to this guy over here. That choice kind of thing exists in a free market. And what's interesting is every one of the companies that had trouble, that had to get bailed out, was a highly regulated industry.
Yeah.
Not a free market industry.
Wasn't
the
free
insurance industry is regulated the Dickens. The automobile industry is regulated by the unions. You got all this where you have a free market, they aren't the ones that needed bailing out because it's self-pruning. If they're not productive, they fall away
now,
and go away.
What's the first thing that happens in socialism? And we're seeing it right now, whether you like call it that or not. You listen to what I'm saying. What's the first thing that happened? The government, the Nimrod, that wants to run this thing, the illuminated ones, the ones that know better than anybody where everything is supposed to go, and the first thing they start doing is hammering a guy for how much money he makes.
That's right.
And twist it and spin it in a way that makes the public turn against him.
Yeah.
That's the way socialism works. You turn it against the church. You turn against productivity.
Yep.
You turn it against it and force those people into the mold or force them out. One of the two.
You know, Jesus was confronted with socialistic thinking in Luke 19. He told a parable in Luke 19 that's a great parable. Called all the servants to him and he gave each one of them a pound, a charge of money. The verse specifically says he gave them money. He took off. He came back later, said accounting time. One guy said, well, I took the one you gave me. I turned it into five. Well done, servant. I took the one you gave me, turned it into ten. Well done. I took the one you gave me, and I didn't do nothing with it because you're not a fair guy. I've never liked you from the beginning. You just want too much from me. And, you know, he went into this thing. And he said, why didn't you at least put it in the bank and make some interest on it? I mean, you hadn't done nothing with what I gave you. And Jesus said, take it from the one and give it to the guy who had 10. And the socialist popped up and said, whoa, 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 that's not fair.
No,
that's
no,
not
no.
fair. He's got too much already. And Jesus says, look, here's the bottom line. To him who has will more be given. To him who has not will be taken away that which he has. If you're productive, I want to prosper you and bless you and give you more. If you're not productive, you need to be penalized. I'm going to take away from you because, and what we do in socialism is, oh, you're not productive. We'll take from the guy who is and give over here. And that's what Jesus said. No. Yeah. You guys have got it going the wrong way. Yeah. Socialism is the opposite of what God wants.
So if God had been in all this, he would have come in there and said, all right, now listen, you see this poor fella here? Poor little guy. I mean, he didn't have a chance. He was afraid, and he went out and buried his talent.
Yeah.
And bless his heart, he ain't got nothing. I mean, the poor little fella ain't got a thing. Now, listen, you got 10, and you got 5, that's 15. There's 3 of you, and 5 apiece is... Well,
that's plenty.
Yeah, we're going to divide this up, but now you have to give me 3 of those 5 off the top, because I'm the one come up with this idea.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
man, because right. I'm the illuminated one here.
That's right.
I know how to do all this. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to come to me and find out how to run your business. You're going to have to come to me to tell you where to plant and so forth. No, that isn't what God did at all. Now, the idea is, well, God is God. That's the way he should do because he knows everything. He knows it won't work.
That's why he gave it to the guy who was productive and didn't reward the guy who was not productive.
Because the guy that's productive, if the blessing of the Lord is in operation.
Yeah.
Particularly in God's eyes. If this guy's a tither, the blessing of the Lord is upon him.
Yep.
I'll bless him so he can bless this guy that doesn't know anything
That's
yet.
Right.
He needs to learn.
That's right.
He needs to know what to do here.
That's right.
So that he can be productive.
That's right.
It'll create a job
for him. That's individual to individual. That is not the government doing it.
No.
That's individual
to individual.
And that's the way God wants it done. It's individual to individual. Government cannot make... Government is incompetent, unproductive. It is not designed for that. Government is designed to punish the wicked and reward the righteous and to take those who break the law and put them in jail. It's not designed to be a business.
You know,
it's not.
I have watched this... this airplane issue ever since... you know, I was flying charter and so forth and selling airplanes back before I got saved.
Yeah.
And I watched this over the years. The people that knock against, for instance, the heads of the CEOs of those car companies.
Yeah.
And they belittled them publicly in order to get the upper hand of them, in order to take control of what they were doing. And eventually they caused the firing of one of them. So... they used that against them. But they didn't bring up the key issue in this. Why, you dirty dog, come flying over here in a jet airplane.
Yeah.
Oh, rah, rah, rah. Listen, they hadn't had any trouble until somebody kidnapped one of those guys that's head of a major industry like that. That happened in Germany, and the terrorists killed the CEO of Mercedes. And because he was traveling outside a protected environment. And we're out of time. We'll be back in just a moment.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers' intentions were concerning the government and where God fits in? The Godly Heritage Package by David Barton will help you come to a better understanding of America's heritage. In this special package, you'll receive America's Godly Heritage, a DVD that is perfect for those who want to know more about what was intended for America and what we can do to help America return to its godly roots. Plus, a book entitled Separation of Church and State, What the Founders Meant. The very foundation of this country is based on God. Learn how to defend your stand for Christ by knowing what happened historically when this country was being birthed. Order your copy of the Godly Heritage Package, now available for just $17. For faster delivery, visit our website at kcm.org and order online. This package includes a DVD and book from best-selling author and speaker David Barton. To request your package by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
The Godly Heritage Package by David Barton. And it is so vitally important that you know what you're talking about and you know what you're praying about. Mm-hmm. Now, prayer changes things. But do you ever notice that just screaming and hollering doesn't change things? You need to have biblical information that has effect on earthly situations. And when you have that information, then you can zero in your prayer life. The Bible is very specific on how we should conduct our lives. It's very specific in regards to the government and all aspects of our lives, our money, our health, everything. God has a way that works. National health deals don't work because they're not healthy.
They're not biblical,
and they don't work. Mm-hmm. You can't pay enough taxes to make that socialistic medical thing work. Mm-hmm. And nobody made it work yet. Why do you think you can? Don't give up on your nation. Give up on the devil. I mean, tie into him with prayer and praising God and pray for the healing of the land. You don't pray for the healing of the economy. That thing ain't going to heal till it gets back on its good footing. And so you pray for the healing of the land. That's what God promised he would do, to heal the land. And politics has everything in the world to do with the healing of the land. Listen, I got to tell you about something. There are a series of meetings that are coming that you really need to know about it. Just absolutely the blessing of the Lord in action. The first one is in Milwaukee, August the 27th through the 29th at the Midwest Airlines Arena. Then the next one is in Kissimmee, Florida, December the 3rd through the 5th at the Gaylord Palms Resort there and the Convention Center there. All of our kids will be preaching and teaching and singing and dancing and everything else that it takes. Jeremy and Sarah and George and Terry and Kelly and Steve and Marty Copeland. I don't know whether John's going to do any preaching. He better. I'll get all over him. He can preach. He just thinks he's too busy. Amen. Get in those meetings. They've got a word. Praise God. We'll see you next time. Until then, Kenneth Copeland and David Barton reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or to order a copy of today's product online, visit our website at kcm.org. There you'll find a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are sending their family to help you. Come to the Copeland Family Meetings, August 27th through 29th in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and December 3rd through 5th in Orlando, Florida. Generations of powerful ministry will share God's word to bolster your faith. Come be refreshed, renewed, and healed. Don't miss the Copeland Family Meetings, August 27th through 29th and December 3rd through 5th. Admission is free. For more information, go to kcm.org.